after the end of the Vietnam War, there was a massive exodus of refugees from Southeast Asia. Patrick Lamb of Chatham, Illinois, spent his early years in the countryside outside of Saigon, the capital of South Vietnam. His father was an interpreter at the U.S. Embassy. In 1974, when Patrick was just three, his father was killed when a roadside bomb exploded. When the communists took over South Vietnam, his mother and grandmother plotted the family's long escape. Patrick was chosen by his mother to flee Vietnam with his aunt and uncle when he was just 9 years old.
After four, I was very stubborn-headed. I was, more resilient than my other siblings. So my mom decided to pick me as the first kid to go overseas.
When we left, it was middle of the night. It was raining. And when we got on board, it was just pitch black. It was a wooden boat. There were about 200 to 300 people on board the boat. So we were stacked like sardines. My mom came down to saying bye to me and telling me that, listen to my aunt and uncle.
I hugged her, I cried. She said, I'll see you when I see you and have a safe trip. Told me not to forget her, and I just didn't know when I was going to get to see her again. It was, I think from her part, it was more painful. For me, I didn't know where I was going. For her, she knew that it was a 50-50 chance I survived the journey. If you get caught leaving, they'll shoot you and sink you. And if you can make it back onto land, then you go to a prison camp.
The boat was being chased by Malaysian pirates. The women and children were told to go down inside the boat, and then the men were on top chanting and screaming back and yelling as we were running away from the pirate ship. After a short amount of chase, they gave up. Lucky for us, because we didn't have any weapon on board. We ran out of food and water after about a week or so being lost at sea. That's when we ran into the oil rig. And the oil rig told our boat captain to sink the boat so they can convert that into a rescue mission. Because of political reasons, they didn't want to take them on board unless it's a rescue. Our boat captain didn't want to sink the boat. Luckily, my family had flotation device, and we had to make a decision at that time, jump off or stay and continue with that boat. So the final decision was for my family to jump into the water. They gave us blankets, and they brought us apples and eggs, which I couldn't eat the eggs, because after being at sea for a while, you couldn't get anything heavy inside. But the apple was delicious. I've never had an apple growing up in Vietnam. This was the first time, looking at this apple, and wow, look at this fruit. And I kept it and just ate it slowly at a time for the whole night we were there. At night, the warm water and the light attracted all this big fish, huge fish that could have easily eaten us alive. Next day, put us on another boat. They had military guys with machine guns standing and staring straight at all of us, and we were so scared, didn't think that they'll let us live. We didn't know where they were taking us. They dragged us out into the sea again, and that's when we're like, uh-oh, we're supposed to go to America. What happened here? They took us to another site. I remember getting on the island, we're sitting in a group. I guess we elected someone to be a leader of the group, and they divided little plots of land depending on the size of your family. The military gave us some tools to survive. Went up to chop woods and stuff like that, branches to build huts. I always volunteer myself to go up there, start chopping trees, woods, small branches, start bringing things down, building. Went out fishing. I learned how to fish already at then. And I think that all came to me when my dad passed away and we had to learn how to survive back home in Vietnam. So it came naturally to me to survive when I got on this island. We became like a small village. We had shops set up. There wasn't any currency, but we traded things that we'd made. Had a fresh bakery shop that was there. People became expert fishermen. I forgot home then. I forgot Vietnam, the whole stay on that island was Robinson Crusoe, that's what it was like.
Patrick, his aunt, and uncle were shuttled to another island refugee camp. Then, after nearly a year, they were finally able to go to the U.S.
San Francisco was where we first landed in America. It was cold weather compared to the tropics. I was just happy that we made it.
Patrick's family settled in Illinois, and he eventually became a U.S. citizen.
I always teach my kids, you know, Vietnam was Dad's birthplace, but America is my home. Two of my girls were born here in America, so America is their home. American, Vietnamese American, there's no distinction for me, you know, it's just wording. American for me is American.
Patrick was able to sponsor his mother, grandfather, and siblings to come to the U.S. He's married, has two daughters, and currently works as an administrator at an assisted living facility in Chatham, Illinois. Learn more about Patrick's story on this website. Our segment was produced by me, Kimberly Cronick, and John Facile. Patrick was interviewed by Mark DePue. Featuring music by Rob Mazurek, Bill McKay, and Travis Dunsmuir. The selections of Vietnamese music were from the Smithsonian Folkways Recordings and the record label Sublime Frequencies.